Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. Hey, I'm going to switch gears now, new dipper, so I'm calling this one Flashpoint. We've talked about it before. Flashpoint, what is that? A place where that one little spark could set off far more. You're in a place right now where we're in a no-burn zone when it comes to the Middle East. We've got a situation brewing right now that puts literally the Middle East into a position of instability such that we have not seen in decades. But Phil, this is where we had the war in Iraq. This is where we had, you know, fighting going on with, you know, the Hezbollah and the Hamas and whatever. I know. I'm talking about regional conflict. I'm talking about nation on nation. I'm not talking about us going over there and scrapping with the insurgencies or fighting with a Ba'ath Party regime and everybody's glad we did. I'm talking about everybody's glad we did. You're like, what are you talking about? The Middle East is glad Saddam Hussein is gone, just so you know. But that being said, I am not a war hawk. I am hawkish, but I am not a war hawk. You don't go to war and then just decide we need more war. Most people who've been to war are like, yeah, we don't need that again. But I will say this. At the same time, I'm of the firm belief that you do not let somebody do damage to your own household and sit idly by and watch it happen. What man would you respect if he was letting the neighbors come into his house and take food from his children and abuse members of his family and take privileges with, you know, his finances and just run roughshod over him and then, you know, come and go into his house whenever they felt like it? What man would you respect if they sat down on this couch and said, sorry, I can't do anything about it? You wouldn't. Picture that on the broad scale. Picture that on the broad scale. Picture the United States as our house. And we cannot let people just take our stuff, do things that hurt our interests, and, oh, by the way, smack around our friends and still consider ourselves to be honorable on the world stage. Now, that's not to mean we're the world police. We're not. But you had better be in a position where if someone starts the fight, you're willing to finish it. And I am concerned right now that we have a Biden administration that is so risk averse that they will allow things to happen and allow things to happen and say, well, I try to hold out my hand and tell them not to stop and to please be nice. And that is not going to work with some of these folks. And so here we are in the awkward position of having a Biden administration with a feckless level of foreign policy, feckless, purely feckless. A feckless level of foreign policy that has gotten us to a position where the enemy feels emboldened, so they keep doing stuff. And then you say, please stop, and they keep doing stuff. And so then you, like, throw a rock at them, but you don't really want to hit them, so you throw it over there, and then they keep doing stuff. Well, that's where we are. And we're at a flashpoint right now. It was recently said that the Middle East has not been this unstable and close to all-out regional conflict since the Yom Kippur War of 1973. And listen, if you think for a second that, well, I don't want to go to war with Iran. I don't either. Guess what? Iran's already at war with us. That's part of the problem. As people are looking at this as in us going and starting something, it's already started. Do you realize what's going to start happening pretty soon in your supply chains? When you go to the store or when you go to buy a new part for your car or when you need that thing that you can't buy and Amazon can't even get it to you, it may be because the world shipping has now been constrained in the Suez and in the Red Sea. You may also find that the cost of oil goes up. Why? Because there's been a diversion of oil to other places because you can't get it from here or there. Or how about this? When we start losing service members. And that happened several times in the last week. Two Navy SEALs dead on one mission, which I'm still a little suspicious of that. I'll talk about that later if I can. But then you also had these three service members who were reservists from Georgia who died in a drone attack in Jordan just the last few days. And they're not the only ones. They three of them died. 40 were injured, eight of which were so serious they were evac'd to Landstuhl in Germany. Listen, I want to do this. Before I go any further, I got an audio clip. So, Big Rig, I'm gonna do the first part of that audio. So this is former Secretary of State and CIA director, and oh, by the way, West Point graduate, Mike Pompeo, talking about this very thing in a recent interview. Go ahead and play the first part of that.
Contributor, and just get your take as to what is happening and what you think the White House and the Pentagon will say today.
Well, Bill and Dana, thanks for having me on this morning. It's pretty clear that the Biden administration's policies have resulted in a huge conflagration. I hear people talking about whether we're going to end up at war with Iran. I can assure you the Iranians are at war with the United States today. They've now killed American servicemen. These three certainly in these past days, and we shouldn't forget the two Navy SEALs that lost their lives in the efforts in the region as well. Dana and Bill, if we stay on our back foot, if we continue to be reactive, if we continue to say, gosh, when they do something, we're gonna hold them accountable, the Iranians will continue at this. And it will not only be in Israel and Gaza, it will be all across the world. They are the world's largest state sponsor of terror. They're deeply connected to Iran and China. And until President Biden manages to restore deterrence, I think we're risking escalation continuing in exactly the way we've seen it happen in these past weeks.
Wow, a couple things here.
Wow. All right, so listen, that's Mike Pompeo laying it on right there. He's basically, and he said it unequivocally. He said, if you think that we're looking at going to war with Iran, understand this, Iran is already at war with us. And these are Iranian proxies. Iran is exporting terror and exporting instability through a variety of means. They fund, they train, and they support, and they encourage, and they incite groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, and oh, by the way, insurgencies that are operating in and around Syria, like ISIS. And then I got news. We're hearing right now that there are members of the Taliban that are being trained in Iran. Don't think for a second that they weren't crossing the border. I know for a fact when I was there in the beginning of the war, there was Iranian influence dabbling in and amongst places where I was walking the ground at the beginning of that war. All said and done, Iran is a fomenter of unrest, and their goal is to maintain the unrest because that gives them an upper hand. Story here on Fox News. Because the question right now is what next? Everybody's watching. Are we about to do something? Is anything going to happen? What's going on? Do we know? Has the Pentagon announced? Have we launched any airstrikes? And who are we going to target? Who are we going to target? Do we have a target picked out? Well, here's the thing. Biden was asked yesterday in one of those, and it's so awful. I mean, y'all, I'll be honest with you. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of watching the commander-in-chief look like he just woke up from a nap. But he's like walking out there kind of wooden, and then all of a sudden he realizes, oh, there's a reporter over there. And so he like staggers over and he squints and he stares and he slowly reaches both hands up to take off his sunglasses and like real slowly takes off his sunglasses. And Marine One is blaring in the background, so you can barely hear what's being said. But they asked him if he's decided on a response. Answer, yes. Oh, okay. And we don't know any more than that, except that he's decided on a response. Well, I'm glad. I don't know what that means. And I'll be honest with you, I probably shouldn't know what that means because I'm not in the know. I'm not sitting here with TS clearance right now working on some ops plan. But the truth is, that's a really weird answer. Have you decided on a response? Yes. Okay. Almost felt creepy. But then what we did hear were the sort of a telegraphing of where things are going. John Kirby, National Security Council spokesperson, later on said that he was not going to preview the response, but he indicated it would come in phases. Phases. could be a tiered approach, not just a single action, potentially multiple actions over a period of time. This is just Phil Williams talking, but I suspect that what they're looking at right now is a multi-pronged campaign. They're probably trying to get some of our allies on board with it as well, so we could say it was a coalition force. They're probably also looking at air assets. They're probably looking at missile launches, and I would suspect they're also trying to make sure they have their target acquisition down right. But the longer they wait, the weirder it looks. At the same time, you have to wonder what they're going to strike. I'm going to suggest to you they've got to do something a little bigger than what they've been doing. They can't just shoot a missile out of the air and go, there, we did that. And they can't just shoot an ammo depot and go, there, we did that. None of that matters. If that mattered, they would have already stopped. They're going to, and now we've lost five service members in the last week. So now they have no choice but to have what needs to be a disproportionate response. The idea of doing another proportionate response, what does that mean? Well, they killed five of ours, so we'll only kill five of theirs. No. The way you win a fight is by having a knockout punch. Now, Phil, what are you talking about? We're going to go into Tehran? No, we're not. But you know what you can do? You can levy serious sanctions. And you can, oh, by the way, you can put the Houthis back on the terrorist list, and you can sanction those groups pretty hard. And then you can also sanction the governments of Yemen, the governments of Lebanon, and the Palestinian Authority, because they are openly supporting those organizations and letting them have their way. And then you can also do things like you can step up the interdictions on the shipment of weapons to those organizations. And then, oh, by the way, target all three of them. Target all three of them. You got to make this hard enough to where Iran sits back and goes, holy crap, didn't see that coming. And then sanctions on Iran itself. Let's quit playing with ideas like, oh, I don't know, maybe we should say something when they put, the United Nations puts Iran on the weapons proliferation study group. What? They're trying to go nuclear right now. Why would we put the... Listen, we've got to stop dabbling with protesting certain actions and speaking and in being... We got to quit being the Biden administration is what I'm trying to say. Because our enemies in the world, they don't recognize that whatsoever. There's going to have to be a firm and disproportionate response because we're sitting on a flashpoint right now. And all it takes is one crazy Houthi drone to sink a major tanker in the Red Sea, and it's a whole new day, y'all. All it's going to take is one more drone attack to take out more of our service members or somebody else's service members or a leader of another government. And it's a whole new day. And we can't go down that road. We don't want to be down that road. We need to nip this as quick as we can. And I'm concerned that the Biden administration doesn't have it in them. It bothers me to say that, but I'm concerned they don't have it in them. I think they are so absolutely risk averse and they telegraph weakness. Biden gets up there, do you have a response planned? Yes. And then he follows up by saying, I don't think we need a wider war in the Middle East. That's not what I'm looking for. How about this? Could we please have a president who boldly and assertively calls a press conference himself, not wanders out to the press with Air Force Marine One blaring in the background, but actually calls a press conference and looks in the eye of the camera and tells the American people, I'm the commander in chief, and those are my troops. And it galls me that they just lost their lives in the service of our country. And by God, somebody's going to pay. And I am pretty sure if Iran wants to start something, we're going to be the ones to finish it. That alone would send a message. Just the sharp rhetoric from a decisive response to the camera, the bold words of somebody with actual command presence, it would send a message. And it would cause a shudder down the spine of those who want to launch the next missile. We're going to take a break right now. We're on number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Flashpoint. Barely even got into my material on it. Don't forget, top of the hour, Grand Council, Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just laying it on thick, brother. So just so you know, just since October 7th, actually since October 18th, there have been 166 separate attacks on U.S. military troops in the Middle East. 166. That was 67 times in Iraq, 98 in Syria, one in Jordan that resulted in those three deaths and 40 wounded. And then, of course, you got the Houthi militants based in Yemen firing on commercial vessels and, oh, by the way, firing on U.S. and allied shipping. So it's just naval vessels, I mean. This is not a small thing. And the fact that we're finally seeing deaths is a clear indication that that it's gotten way beyond the ability for it to be, you know, contained and put on the bottom of the newspaper articles. They can't shelve it anymore. It's getting so far out of hand, and it's because we have zero policy. I think our policy is risk averse. It's risk aversion. Our policy is to, I don't know, be scared and not sure what to do next. That's what it feels like. Let me go to the phones right now. Jeff from Indiana is on. Jeff Rowe, how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm in the middle of the downtown metropolis of Hartsel.
Well, have at it.
Because 65 North is backed up from Friceville to Hartsel.
Oh, wow.
So I figured it'd be a little bit easier. Yeah, they're doing some paving down there, and it's a one lane job.
So it's a construction delay, and not an accident, huh?
Yeah, it's and somehow most people do it at nighttime, but Alabama has it on there 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. just right, it can mess everybody's traffic.
Wonderful. Well, hey, what do you think Dipper? I'm doing Flashpoint, the stuff in Iran. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we need to resurrect Reagan, you know, and do to them what he did to Gaddafi, you know. I think he put the fear of Allah in Gaddafi, the best I remember.
Well, he did. And you know what? And truthfully, Trump did the same. Trump took out Soleimani, which was Iran's the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. And that set them on their heels. They had no idea that was coming. And
Reagan went after the top dog. I mean, I think there should be some cruise missiles landing some of these Ayatollahs' backyards, maybe. They get their 72 trans virgins or something, you know.
Sometimes I don't know what you're going to say.
Sometimes I don't either. That's what makes it so interesting.
That's what happens when it gets punchy when they've got construction on the interstate. I look at it, and let me ask you this. We got about a minute for the break, bro. But I do not, and I'm being serious here, I do not feel like the Biden administration has any kind of clue how best to have a policy that is effective. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you got General Milley and all these other, you know, just pansies running our country, basically, you know. They don't know what they're doing, and they're more interested in making sure the trannies are taken care of in the service than they are taking care of people getting killed overseas like they have been. Biden, if you vote a Democrat right now, it almost needs to be charged with involuntary homicide, because you have killed a lot of people in this world.
Wow.
Through the feckless leader that we have.
Yeah, and I watch it too. Even if his policies were decent, his presence inspires nothing. His doddering presence inspires absolutely nothing. Hey Jeff, we're like 20 seconds for the break, man. You be safe on the road out there. All right.
All right, Hartsell, I'll be good, man.
All right, man. We'll see you. All right. Listen. It is a flashpoint. I'm not sure I did it justice. You know what? We'll see how things go. I may, after the Grand Council, even touch back on the subject some more. But this is big doings, y'all. Big doings. Text it in. Call it in. 833-687-4448. Next up, Grand Council. We'll be right back.